And on the line now, I have Heather Bourke. Good afternoon, Heather.
Hi, John. How's it going?
It's good. And thank you very much for taking the call. Now, Heather, you've established a new non-profit making initiative called Conversation Saloons. Do you want to explain to the listeners about this?
Okay, so conversation salons are, I suppose, the most important thing maybe to say about them is they're about getting people back to sort of real conversation, deeper conversation, away from screens and phones kind of thing. So it's, you know, the way the Irish are great, we're great talkers, but sometimes we're talking about the same old thing over and over, like the weather and Love Island and the soaps and whatever sort of more general kind of things, ritual conversations, as I call them. So we want to sort of, it is the thing to do with the digital age. So we want to get people away from the screens, but also we're kind of fighting the loneliness epidemic. But even before people were talking about the whole screen addiction thing and the loneliness epidemic, when I was doing them at the very start a few years ago, it was because I thought we often have these kind of trivial nonsense conversations when we're actually dying to talk about more interesting things and more serious things and the things that really matter to us and the things that are important to us. But you'll end up talking sort of, you know, gobbledygook. So my sort of challenge was to move away from the superficial. And when you know yourself, when you have a really deep conversation or you get sort of dug into something more interesting or meaningful or stimulating, you come away feeling great. You think, wow, like that guy really listened to me or she really understood me or some bit of magic or spark has happened in the conversation.
Yeah, well, you know, I know exactly what you're talking about because I'm in a unique position where I can actually have very interesting conversations with the likes of yourself, and the show is over. You know, sometimes it can be a bit of a hassle leading up to it, trying to get interviews and all that. But at the end of the show, you say to yourself, "Oh, I enjoyed that immensely. Very interesting people I spoke to." Now, what the hell
but
is
John,
this?
Just to say, but you're one of the lucky ones because your job gives you all those opportunities. So it's very easy to get stuck in a bubble. Like, say, if you work at Google and you spend your whole life on computers, or you're living on your own, or you're unemployed, or lots of reasons. Or the other thing I always think is we've now become so busy and crazy that literally we don't talk to the neighbor, we don't talk to the guy at the bus stop. We're in such a fluster or so stressed, we don't calm down enough just to say, how's it going to a random stranger or to the guy we see every day walking down the street, which is really sad and bad for society and bad for mental health and bad for human connection and everything.
Yeah, and I find if you do actually say hello to somebody or you see somebody in a supermarket and you help them out, you can get into a conversation fairly easy.
Yeah, I think that's what I always say to people. Take a chance. Like when you're sitting on the bus or you're on the Dart or the Lewis or something, some people might think, oh, you know, you're mad. But mostly, I honestly think 90% of the time you get a positive response. The people kind of drop their guard, put down their phone or go, yeah, and randomly, like, you know yourself, just when you're sitting at an airport or on a train or something, you kind of the most, like, well, I wouldn't exactly say life-changing, but they could conceivably be life-changing. You just go, wow. Or the other thing I suppose I always say is every human being, once you dig a little deeper and give them an opportunity, has an amazing story to tell or have some life experience or something, as I say, exotic about them or super interesting. But if you never ask, you'll never know.
Yeah, people are as we said, very, very interesting. Now, the volunteers that hold these groups, and just tell us, where are the groups held in people's homes or are they in
community? No, so the whole idea, we've had them in lots of places. We've had them in Croke Park or the Botanic Gardens or the Mansion House, but the regular sort of mainstream salon is in a cafe. No, we've had them in clubs and stuff and community halls and that, or we had one in Beaumont Hospital, but really the idea is that you just pick a regular cafe and people feel very relaxed and there's only four people sitting at a table. So you've got a cafe, but there's four at each table. So you just come in and you're probably sitting with strangers. So you're just Dom and Susie and, you know, four, just first names probably. You get a conversation menu and then you're off because the conversation menu has lots of interesting questions and topics. So it's not in people's houses. So it's we're looking for cafes too who would want to support this kind of social enterprise or this not-for-profit. That cafes, we need, well, it's generally better to have them in the evenings because then you get everybody. You get people who are working, you get students, you get the whole shebang, whereas if you have it in the daytime, it sort of limits who can come. So basically, yeah, so cafes are our mainstay. That's where we like to have them. And I think that's, they work really well there because people feel it's very relaxed and informal and friendly. And we work hard on that whole culture that it's, that it is relaxed and friendly and that everybody's voice is equal and that we're very open-minded and inclusive and it's all about empathy and tolerance. Now, I hope I'm not talking too much down on that. We want everybody to feel like it's a place they belong and that they can come back to. And that, you know, like say, for example, right now we have them in Colestor in 53 Avenue, that bistro, and they're there every second Tuesday, and they're in Third Space Cafe in Smithfield in town, again, the second and the fourth Wednesday of the month. But definitely, we want people to feel it's in their community, that they come back, they can invite their friends, there'll be some familiar faces, there'll be some new faces, and this whole thing of you won't be stuck in a sort of echo chamber or a bubble because there'll be people, all different generations, all different nationalities, all different backgrounds, all different values and beliefs and that kind of thing. So you're sort of, you know, it's explorational, or it's, you're sort of, you're constantly getting new ideas and new opinions and new viewpoints, and also super interesting stories from people, like what they did with their lives or, you know, their life experiences. So it's kind of a treasure trove of human beings to explore if you're sort of brave enough to just go in and say, how's it going? And we always try to be really friendly, that that's our big thing, and that, you know, people enjoy it. And usually people leave, you know, with a real buzz and sort of they're really energized after the whole thing and they're amazed what a good experience it was. But I suppose for some people it might be a little bit daunting that you're walking into a new place with new people. But you can bring your best friend or bring your neighbor.
Yeah, now you mentioned that these conversations are inclusive because we are a very diverse community now and there's lots and lots of cultures. So are you getting different cultures sitting down at the same table and talking to each other?
Yeah, so I suppose we're new in Colestor, but where we've been doing them for a few years now in Third Space in Smithfield, we've got something like a third other nationalities and two-thirds Irish. We've got roughly half men, half women. We've got people from 20-something up to 70-something. Like we had a 92-year-old at our one in Colestor last week. So I do think that's what we want to cultivate. And I suppose we, you know, so we can put out the invitation and then it's up to people to sort of spread the word and, you know, and like it is a great way of building community or new social networks or just sort of expanding your life because it's kind of, you know, thought-provoking and it's, you're just hearing new stuff all the time. Or being challenged to maybe change your mind or look at things differently, or like you said, be more tolerant about somebody who believes something totally different from you, but you're sitting down in this kind of positive space saying, really, that's so interesting, why do you believe exactly the opposite of me, tell me more. And I suppose feedback we often get is how people are amazed how open and honest people are, because we try to make it a sort of safe, trusted space so that people feel comfortable sharing stuff, but that's totally up to the individual kind of thing.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned there, you mentioned a 90-year-old man sitting down to have a conversation.
Yeah, 92, and I have to say the 92-year-old was the coolest guy in the room, such an interesting man, yeah. And he took great sense of humour and was well able to listen to different opinions and discuss them and not be put out that somebody else believed something different.
Yeah, because I know I talked to a lot of organisations. I know there was an initiative there going back, and to where young people were mixing in with older people. Maybe it was in nursing homes. I can't remember. But elderly people, they have great stories to tell, and young people don't realise really until they actually sit down and talk to them.
No, they don't. And like we had one in Kavarik a while ago where it was deliberately, we got the youth group and the retired people's group. And that was a great night. And also, like, I've just watched them. Like, I remember at one in Kilkenny, there was an older man, I could say maybe late 70s, talking to a guy in his 20s, and they were talking about mental health and relationships. And I was just thinking, where would you get it? Because the old man was just a lovely guy, and the young guy was sort of, equally open to hear his advice and his life experiences, but just the kind of coming together or the sharing of issues and problems and how they coped with them was just a lovely thing to see. But like, we so need to open up those kind of spaces. Like, whatever, I mean, it's not that we're the only ones doing it. Anywhere you can do that is just so valuable, because, what shall I say, you troubleshoot so many things that otherwise might fester and become bigger problems, or where you can be open and share and realize it's not just your issue, it goes across generations and across all demographics kind of thing.
Yeah, and social media now as well, you know, I have to use social media myself sometimes because of the work I do, and it's not great sitting down there and typing out something to this faceless person on the other end of the on the other side of the screen.
So. No, so I suppose I don't like to be too negative. I sort of think we've got to see the positive in everything. So on the one hand, our kind of catchphrase is reclaiming face-to-face conversation in the digital age, because it's just so good for human beings. We're wired to connect. So when we don't connect face-to-face and with other human beings, it's just not good for our well-being kind of thing. But so I think we can, like, I was meeting a new volunteer yesterday, a lovely Brazilian chap who's going to help us with he's saying we're going to use social media to sort of fight the fact that we're addicted to social media. So we're going to promote the project on social media, but with the purpose of getting more face-to-face conversations. I think we've got to, what shall I say, leverage the good in everything. But like, say, I have a youngish friend, and she went off social media because she said she was spending 2 hours a night in social media, and that's probably a conservative estimate. And who I'm trying to think, some famous singer, John Mayer, went off social media lately because he wasn't writing songs anymore. He was becoming a social media obsessive addict.
That's right. And if somebody, you're looking for volunteers, I take it.
We are. Yeah. So I suppose our backbone, like, we're volunteer led. Everybody that does anything for us is pro bono kind of thing. Now, so if what we need is people. So we have people who maybe help us with social media and marketing and a few different things. What would be super valuable would be people who would be able to host these in their community, so that they can say, I'm from Coolock, or I'm from Rohini, or I'm from Ballymun, or wherever, Black Rock, Dunleary, all over the city, but say you're Northside focused. So they could find a venue or a cafe that would be happy to host us once a fortnight, and that then they will be the friendly face of the salon, that they are. Maybe you probably are better having like two helpers, maybe. So maybe if three people came together in a community and said, we'll be the face of conversation salons, we'll stand up every evening and say, look guys, you're very welcome, this is how it works, these are the ground rules, this is our ethos, this is the kind of space we want this to be, where you can come back and enjoy it and invite more people in. And then they'd help us maybe come up with the questions for the menu, because the conversation menu is kind of crux to the whole thing, because if the questions are interesting, people have a great time, and if they're boring, maybe not so interesting. So that we put a lot of sort of focus into getting a really interesting list of topics and questions. But anyway, so that the volunteers would help with the hosting, and that they're the face of the salon in the community. And also, all the better if they know a cafe that would actually say, we like what you're doing, we want to have stronger communities and more connected sort of society, and we want people to be more inclusive and welcoming of all different types and ages. Anyway, so yeah, anybody who could help, that would be brilliant. If they'd email me on heatherburke@aircom.net, and just to say my Burke has a no in it, so it's Heather, B-O-U-R-K-E, heatherburke@aircom.net. I mean, I'd be thrilled if we could get people who are interested to support us, or just to spread the word and get us more people to come to Colestor and Smithfield. But generally, we want to expand.
Right. Now, I just want to go back here. You mentioned a conversation menu. Is that just to sort of nudge people into getting talking, or people, if people are listening, they're saying to themselves, do I have to stick to that menu, or is it just a sort of an introduction into the whole conversation?
Well, I suppose if people are funny, it's not school sort of thing. So it's there to get the conversation started. Now, generally speaking, they're super interesting conversation starters. So people, you sort of, they could either spend the whole night in one question, they could go off on tons of tangents. I suppose what I find with human beings is, if there's one particular thing that's important to you, or that matters to you, or that's on your mind, you'll kind of wind it into any conversation that comes up. Like if I ask you, what makes you feel most alive? What makes your heart sing? Or I ask you, what's the biggest adventure you ever had in your life? Or what's the thing you're most scared of? Or what kind of country would you like to see Ireland become in the next 20 years? You'll have your own particular things that are, and they'll wind into it, but that's fine. Like, we're not rigid. That's the whole thing, that it's fun and enjoyable and relaxed. So, but I suppose what I'm saying is, it's not, the menus are generally good, so usually people go with the menus, but there's certainly nothing stopping you bringing in other topics or floating around or going off on tangents. And the other thing, once you start coming to the salons, we invite you to contribute questions so that the questions are representative of what the people actually like and want to discuss.
Okay, and human nature being what it is, conversation will sometimes contain disagreement, but it has to be a sort of controlled disagreement. Have you ever come across conversations turning into arguments?
Well, I have to say, and I'm saying this hand on my heart, in all the, so we're running them now 5 years, there's, I can sort of, I think there were maybe 2 or 3 incidents. So this is important to us, and kind of this is a thing we sort of want to, role model or teach, is that it's possible to sit down with somebody who believes exactly the opposite of you and have a polite, civilized conversation. The trick is that you don't shut down and be judgmental, that you actually say, really, John, that's so interesting that you believe that, because I believe something so different. Let's explore this in depth, and that you're kind of brave enough to inquire to another level and to come to some much deeper level of understanding, even if we both stay where we were at the start. And maybe sometimes we both shift in our thinking. But our whole, like, that's why we have our ground rules, that it has to be respectful and it has to be sensitive. So we don't want to shy away from difficult topics, because then you'd sort of be back to superficiality and chit-chat. We want people to be able to go into tricky topics or deep topics, but that we always sort of, and like, very occasionally, to be honest, because I think we've somehow managed to cultivate that atmosphere that you can say something, like, say I was watching, say, the 92-year-old man in Colester, and the lady opposite him that evening had very different views, but they were both sort of in a very, they did it beautifully. He was able to challenge her and vice versa, but there was nothing unpleasant about it, kind of thing. So obviously we're not infallible. We're fallible. So, and you can't sort of legislate that every human being you bring in is going to be perfect. And even you or I might be in a bad mood and be slightly misbehaved on a particular evening, but we work so hard, and so far we've done really well. I suppose the biggest crime people commit, as opposed to being in any way unpleasant when there's a difference of opinion, is people start to get carried away and talk too much. And we've more of an issue sometimes saying to people, that's so interesting, but I think we need to hear from the other people at the table, or, you know, so that, you know, they say we're all conversational narcissists, even if we don't think we are. So allaboutme.com, that we sort of guard against that, and we try to work against that, or sort of make sure that doesn't happen.
Right, we're running out of time, Heather, but just one more thing. Like, conversation and talking, it can solve an awful lot of problems out there. So this is a great initiative, and fair play to you, and continued success. Now, if there's people listening out there and they want to get, how did they get in touch with you, or how did they get involved?
Okay, so I suppose if I can. So the very first thing is, they're in 53 Avenue Bistro in Colester. There's one on the 1st of October, the 15th of October, and the 29th of October. They're in Third Space in Smithfield on the 2nd and 4th Wednesday of every month. So there's one there tonight, but then the 9th and the 23rd of October. And check our website. So our website is conversationsalons.ie, and our Facebook page is just Conversation Salons on Facebook. And I suppose if people have any queries, or they're really keen to ask me more questions or to volunteer, email me directly, heatherburke@aircom.net. And that's Burke with an O, B-O-U-R-K-E, heatherburke@aircom.net. But no, we'd love to see more people coming to our Colester one. So there's one next Tuesday, the 1st of October, and then tonight in Smithfield and Third Space, or on the 9th of October in Third Space. But yeah, please get in touch, and we'd love to hear from you, either just to attend or to volunteer would be amazing. We'd be so grateful for that.
Okay, Heather, listen, it's been great talking to you, and as I said, it's a great initiative.
Yeah, you too. I hope I didn't talk too much, John.
Not at all. It's great. So I'll contact you after the show about a podcast. We'll put this up in podcast.
That would be great.
Okay,
thanks so much, John. Thank you.
Thank you, Heather, and we'll talk again, hopefully.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good luck. Bye.
Right, that's Heather Burke there, and the group is Conversation Salons, and the website is conversationsalons.ie, and you're better off just going onto that and you'll get all the information you want.